Hi, everybody. Welcome to another edition of our Ag Perspectives podcast. Our guest today, Dale Hayes, who's a nutritionist, and she works quite a bit with the dairy industry, including Dairy Max here in the southwestern part of the U.S. She was a featured speaker at a midday luncheon for the Oklahoma Action for Healthy Kids Coalition. And we had the opportunity to talk with her after her presentation to these dietitians and others involved in nutrition for kids in the state of Oklahoma. And we talked about some of the things going on at this meeting, as well as some of the national issues surrounding the controversy over the current school lunch and breakfast program, the guidelines from USDA.
Dale, let's talk a little bit, first of all, about this particular group that you've spoken to today. Dietitians, other folks that are involved in nutritional planning for children in the state of Oklahoma. What was your message? What were you trying to get across to them about how we are more successful in doing our job in this regard?
Well, it was kind of a relaunch for Oklahoma Action for Healthy Kids. So it is a group of people come from diverse backgrounds, some nutrition people, some physical activity people, but thinking about how can we take an overall positive approach to dealing with children's health and weight. My view of that is, number one, we always need to combine nutrition and physical activity. So it's about kids getting enough nutrient-rich foods. It's about getting them outdoors, getting them playing. But also that our efforts have to not just be focused on childhood obesity. We've been really concerned about that. But it's really all kids. All kids in America are missing some nutrients. Nearly all kids in America are missing physical activity. So how can we, in a positive way, address those problems?
Are we sometimes maybe overshooting a little bit when we just concentrate so much on just the obese kids?
We are, I think, overshooting the problem when we concentrate just on childhood obesity, because our answer to that as adults is diet and exercise. Well, that isn't the answer for children. We really need to focus on the foods that children do need to eat. So, yeah, they need to cut back some on soft drinks and snacks, but they actually need more low-fat dairy products. They need more whole grains, more fruits and vegetables, more lean beef. We need to figure out how we're going to get those foods into kids. And I think we have kind of pushed a panic button and in some cases gone too far on dieting. And the same thing for me goes actually for physical activity. We need to talk more about play than we do about exercise.
And so just the activity itself can yield a lot of positive results.
Absolutely. I mean, we're looking for all sorts of ways to get kids more physically active. I was just at this wonderful event in Washington, D.C., supported by National Dairy Council. Some Oklahoma folks were there as well. But that was really focused on what's the interaction between nutrition, physical activity, and learning. So we know that kids who are more active, and it doesn't have to be a sport, just kids who are out playing do better in school. Kids who have breakfast do better in school. So we need to focus on some of these positive things that we can do for kids instead of always thinking about taking something away.
It seems like that we are having various groups really kind of, want to take away some of these things, whether it's dairy products, whether it's eggs, it seems like a lot of these things that are maybe traditional staples almost are being attacked.
Well, we have sort of a tendency in our country to talk about good food, bad food. And things come in and out of favor, So we have low-carb diets, and then everybody's eating whole grains. And then we have the paleo diet, and then people want to have you have no meat. So really, I always come down in terms of moderation. So all those traditional foods, meat, potatoes, dairy, there's a lot of reason to eat those things. Do we need to have them always in as large quantities as we have been? Maybe not. And maybe we do need to look at more fruits and vegetables. But it is not about labeling certain foods as good and certain foods as bad. I always use pizza as the example because some people just want to take pizza out of school. Pizza's too high in calories, too high in salt. Well, it all depends on the kind of pizza you have. And there's some wonderful, lean, delicious, balanced pizzas that kids will eat.
When you think about some of the dialogue you had here with the audience, the group that was here today, one of the subjects that came up was flavored milk or chocolate milk.
Flavored milk is another one of the hot buttons in schools, and a lot of people want to ban flavored milk because of its added sugar. Well, first of all, kids need the calcium, the potassium, the vitamin D that's in milk. To my mind, it can come from white milk, it can come from flavored milk, but kids need those nutrient-rich products. Mm-hmm. Now, the thing about flavored milk is I think people don't realize how far the industry has gone to change flavored milk for schools in what people are looking for. So over the past 6 years, they've decreased the calories, they decreased the added sugar, made it fat-free. Fat-free chocolate milk these days is delicious. Kids love to drink it, and it's got all those nutrients. What people don't always realize is that 12 grams of sugar come directly from the cow, whether it is white or flavored. 12 grams of sugar are natural sugar that's lactose in the milk. And now the industry has brought that down. So in schools, you only see about 10 grams of added sugar in a carton of chocolate milk.
And as a result, the whole idea, as I know we've talked about before, is that you want the kids to drink the milk.
I want kids to drink milk. I don't care whether it's flavored. I don't care whether it's, white milk. I want the kids to have those nutrients. And when we take out flavored milk as an option, kids drink less milk, and that concerns me.
We're getting some dictates. We've always obviously had some guidelines from USDA, but it seems like we're getting some new marching orders, if you want to call them that, on the school lunch and breakfast programs for our nation's schools from USDA and from the White House as well. A lot of controversy.
It has become a very controversial issue, and the first thing I want to say is I'm sorry it has become a controversial, polarized issue. This is about children's health, and we should approach it in a scientific, rational way. And now, like many other things, it's become very polarized in terms of how people are viewing it. And that is because it went, in, as you said, into the political arena, and we have the White House and other folks interested in this. To me, I think that's a detriment to children's health. We did need to revamp the school meal pattern. If we looked at what the school meal pattern had been for 15 years, yes, we needed to take a new look at that. And some of the things that we have in the new meal pattern, I am totally behind. In other words, there's more fruits, there's more vegetables, there's whole grains. We still have low-fat milk, white, and we have non-fat milk flavored and white. So there's some really good things. I wish we had done a little more pilot testing, if we had not rolled it out to the whole country, if we'd been able to try it in a few schools and work out some of the kinks, I think we might be in a better place today.
What would you say when you say kinks? Is that maybe acceptance by kids, for one thing?
I think there are several kinks. One is the whole idea about how will kids accept things. We need a lot more ideas for recipes and products. A second issue is having the industry have some time to catch up and develop the products. You know, I really see the food industry as responsive to these things. Flavored milk. They heard what needed to be done, and milk processors did that. The other kink that I see is the calorie limit, and I know that's where a lot of the controversy is coming up. So now there are calorie ranges for three different age groups, K-5, 6-8, and 9-12. So there didn't used to be an upper limit on calories. There used to be a lower limit. Now there's an upper limit. Honestly, I don't think there's a problem in the elementary grades. And middle school may be a little more problematic. When we hit high school, I think that's one of the places there's some kinks. And it has to do with high school athletes. And it has to do with kids who are used to eating one way and now are going in and not being able to have a second whole wheat roll. Even if it's a whole wheat roll, they can't have one that's the size they're used to or can't have a second one. And I think that's one of the kinks that would have been nice to work out before we rolled it all out.
What as you've maybe had a chance to talk to some of the people involved in this whole process, is there an openness to look at trying to deal with some of these kinks, you think?
I think they're becoming more open to that. I think they realize. And by the way, I think I need to say here that I'm just representing my own personal opinion mm-hmm. here. I'm not representing any opinion of USDA nor of Dairy Max. Just my own personal view of these kinds of things. But they recognize that there are some issues out there. Now, some of the comments about kids are starving, I think those are a little extreme. Nobody's starving. I mean, you know, 850 calories for a high school lunch, you're not starving. Are you getting the right balance of calories and what you need? Maybe not. That's what we should take a look at. I will say that SNA, with USDA's help, has established a forum now, a very open forum online, where any director, any family, anybody can go in and begin to make these sort of comments. So are they going to be looking at them? I think yes. But again, you know, this entered the political arena in a way that I wish it hadn't, because this really is trying to figure out. I mean, we serve 32 million lunches a day in the U.S. In the school program, 32 million children get a lunch every day. That's an incredible service, because so many of those children may not have dinner when they go home, or may not have something you or I would recognize as a dinner. So that meal that they're getting at school is probably the best meal they're getting all day. It's worth taking our time and figuring out how to do the best job with that. And as I said, there are a lot of things about the new meal patterns that I really support. Do I wish we had approached it in a slightly different way? Yes.
When we think about, you know, going forward, obviously these are significant changes that we're rolling out in this particular program. There's just a lot of, I guess, society as a general there's a lot more focus on some of these things, calories, obviously, sugar, the fats. I mean, that's nothing really new, but it seems like maybe a little more scrutiny on some of these areas especially.
Yes, I think there is more scrutiny on them. And I think, you know, when the National School Lunch Program started under President Harry S. Truman in 1946, he signed the first National School Lunch Act. It really was about having seen undernourished, underweight soldiers in World War II. That's why we started the program. We have a different sort of problem now. Kids are now overweight, but still undernourished. So we're looking for ways to make sure they get the nutrients they need. And you know what? There are so many school nutrition directors who are really stepping up to do a good job. And another thing that Oklahoma is a real leader in is the whole farm-to-school issue, really looking for ways to support Oklahoma farmers in getting foods into school. And Deborah Taylor, who was here today from Shawnee Schools, has been one of the people really looking for ways not just to bring the product in, but to get kids to eat it. Kristen Neal from Stillwater Schools was here, and she's found ways to get kids to eat roasted beets and roasted sweet potatoes. So directors, school nutrition directors, want kids to have good food, but they do need some support in making that happen, and I think they would all like the regulations to be a little less complicated.
Dale Hayes visiting with us after her presentation to the Oklahoma Action for Healthy Kids Coalition in Oklahoma City. On the Oklahoma Farm Report, I'm Ron Hayes.